After you've been hurt in a wreck, that's the sound of the value of your case going down. Every second you wait to get medical treatment and to get a lawyer can greatly affect the value of your case.
After you've been hurt in a wreck, stop the clock by calling Lerner & Rowe. We'll immediately get working on your case, getting you the medical treatment you need, and in most cases, with no out-of-pocket expenses, even if you don't have health insurance.
Lerner & Rowe is the way to go. Call 877-1500.
Randy Westbrook, managing attorney.
This is the story of a very special woman. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician or an entrepreneur. Her knowledge was limitless and still is. She could also make monsters disappear, especially those that lurked in the shadows under the bed. Once, this woman put back together a teenage girl's broken heart, which had been shattered in a thousand pieces, just by giving her a bear hug. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. A public service announcement brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
In Nevada, anything that goes into the storm drain goes directly to our local waterways, which can pollute Nevada's lakes and rivers. Nevada is the driest state in the nation, and we must work together to preserve our limited water resources for future generations of Nevadans. Here's some waterway wisdom so you can help do your part. Scoop your dog's poop, bag it, and discard it. Clean up yard waste and grass clippings. Wash your car at a car wash or on grass or gravel. Apply pesticides and fertilizers sparingly in your yard. Safely dispose of household chemicals. Clean up leaks and spills. And don't litter. Secure trash in bins. Keep contaminants out of our storm drains. Use waterway wisdom. And remember, only rain should go into the storm drain. Join us in preserving Nevada's waters for future generations by visiting loveenvywaters.com and following us on social media.
This message funded by a grant through the Nevada Department of Transportation, aired in cooperation with the Nevada Broadcasters Association and this station.
You're listening to Live and Local with Kevin Wall on AM 670 KMZQ. Talk radio done right.
Don't forget, Heidi Kasama will join us, Assemblywoman from District 2 from Carson City. And one of the things we're going to talk about is the 82nd Nevada Legislature, a week and a half in. We have just passed the halfway mark of the week, and they passed, I think, one or two bills, and that's about it. There will be more. I can just about promise you that. There are over 1,000 bills in the hopper right now. Not all of them will end up getting a vote. Some will disappear down a dark rabbit hole and will be gone forever. And by the way, some of the legislation will be really good legislation. But Heidi Kasama will explain what's going on now. She's an assemblywoman from District 2. One of the things I just want to leave you with in this hour, we'll get to more of your calls on this announcement today by no less than Nikki Haley. She is running for president. I don't think she has a chance. I think she's running for vice president, which is okay. You want to get a national prominence? You want to be on a national stage? Good. Good for her. Does it mean that it's going to eat into anybody? No. Is it going to bring Donald J. Trump down to his knees begging for forgiveness? I don't think so. I'm sorry, but I don't. Stay where you are. Heidi Kasama joins us. We'll talk about what's going on in Carson City. This is week two of the 82nd Nevada Legislature. Stick around. More to do as we continue on AM 670 KMZQ, where news is next.
Showroom at South Point presents Forever Fab, a tribute to the Beatles. And I do appreciate your Plus, a musical journey through the 60s with 60s Mania. You'll love the music and the memory. February 17th to the 19th. Tickets at the box office, online at southpointcasino.com or charged by phone. 702-797-8055. Forever Fab. Plus, 60s Mania at the South Point.
If your bank account is causing you headaches, switch to One Nevada Credit Union. With 46,000 free ATMs, innovative mobile apps, and convenient local branches, you can kiss your banker goodbye forever. Open an account online today or find a local branch at onenevada.org.
One Nevada Credit Union. Our one focus is you.
One Nevada is open to all Clark County residents. Federally insured by the NCUA Equal Opportunity Lender.
Live from the South Point Hotel, Casino, and Spa Studios. From the world-famous Las Vegas Strip. AM 670 KMCQ, Las Vegas. Locally owned and operated by Kemp Broadcasting and Digital Outdoor.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm John Scott. Senator Deb Fischer says the recent discovery of a Chinese spy balloon is part of a much bigger surveillance program by China that could make it easier for Beijing to target the U.S. with missile strikes.
I think that woke a lot of people up. But China has been building up its nuclear enterprise, and we have been slow to modernize ours.
Senator Fischer tells the Salem Radio Network, China has a effective nuclear triad consisting of more ICBM launchers than the U.S., bombers similar to the B-2, and a growing fleet of nuclear submarines. Also at townhall.com, a town meeting is on tap tonight in East Palestine, Ohio. Site of a train derailment and the intentional burning of some hazardous chemicals on board. There are plenty of questions. Rail operator Norfolk Southern says it's offering financial help to the community. The deadly crash of a tanker truck in Arizona caused hazardous materials to leak onto the interstate outside Tucson on Tuesday, shutting down part of a key highway and forcing evacuations.
The Arizona Department of Public Safety says a shelter-in-place order has been reinstated for a one-mile perimeter around the incident on I-10 southeast of downtown Tucson, where they anticipate extensive closures. Residents are being advised to turn off heaters and air conditioning systems that bring in outside air. The tractor truck was leaking liquid nitric acid, and officials say while crews were attempting to remove the hazardous load, gassing occurred. Officials say the driver was killed in a rollover following a collision. I'm Julie Walker.
And it looks like a higher close on Wall Street today. The Dow up 39 points, the NASDAQ gaining 110. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Relief factor, pain relief, it's natural pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
My brother-in-law died suddenly, and now my sister and her kids have to sell their home. That's why I told my husband we could not put off getting life insurance any longer. An agent offered us a 10-year, $500,000 policy for nearly $50 a month. SelectQuote found us identical coverage for only $19 a month.
SelectQuote could save you more than 50% on term life insurance. For your free quote, go to SelectQuote.com. That's SelectQuote.com. Full details on example policies at SelectQuote.com/commercials.
Guys and gals, by now you know there are non-invasive and minimally invasive medical solutions to hair restoration without side effects, right?
No.
Okay, so you don't know. Doctors of Hair use only clinically proven treatments, from platelet-rich plasma hair therapy that uses your own platelets to stimulate stem cells deep in your hair follicle to halt hair loss and regrow hair, to the FDA-cleared clinical hair restoration laser that's proven to regrow hair, to neograft hair transplants that offer discreet, natural-looking results in a week or less with no linear scarring. All of these services are administered by Doctors of Hair caring medical professionals, experts at understanding how devastating hair loss can be at any age. Treatments work for both men and women wanting a natural, thicker head of hair without side effects.
Doctors of Hair. Call now, 702-751-0086. That's 702-751-0086. Or online at doctorsofhair.com.
Doctors of Hair. Now you know.
It's 104. This is your KMZQ News Flash. I'm Jim Dallas. It's official. The Raiders have ended their 9-year relationship with their now former quarterback, Derek Carr. His release came yesterday afternoon, just before the deadline, which would have triggered a $40 million guarantee. Carr's release means he's now free to negotiate a contract with any other NFL team. By releasing Carr, the Raiders will take on a $5.6 million hit to its salary cap, but will save some $29 million this season. Carr was selected in the second round of the 2014 draft by the Raiders. He's the franchise leader in touchdown passes, completions, and passing yards. But the Raiders only had two winning seasons and two playoff appearances during his 9-year tenure. They'll now get a chance to discover his value on the open market. Well, yesterday was windy, wet, and snowy as Las Vegas' international airport saw its first snowfall in history on Valentine's Day. In fact, snow flurries fell in the Sky Canyon to Boulder City with high winds blowing across the valley, and today's no different. Sunny and windy, gusts up to 25 miles per hour, a high of 52, a low of 32. It's 49 right now.
KMCQ on-time traffic is powered by Meineke Car Care Centers.
Right now, get a basic oil change for only $29.95. Meineke, doing car care right.
Well, look for a little bit of congestion there on Interstate 15 southbound through those traffic cones through there. That zone is between Flamingo and Tropicana. The Tropicana exit is closed and will be until the summer of 2024.
Mr. President, it's time to get to work. Surely we both agree that the national debt is too high. Surely we both agree that inflation hurts American families. Surely we can trim waste and streamline programs to make them both stronger and more efficient. Congressional Republicans are ready to act to save our country and to make America stronger.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Number one, time is running out. Number two, time is running out. Number three, time is running out. Number four,
ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Wall.
We are into week two of the 82nd Nevada legislature. Not a lot has happened. There's been a lot of ceremonial pomp and circumstance, and that's all well and good. And we've got a couple of bills, I guess, that have already been passed and sent to the governor. And that is all well and good as well. The big question is, when do they start getting to the meat and potatoes of what they're going to be doing over 120 days? Heidi Kasama is an assemblywoman in District 2. She is with us from Carson City and joins us. Heidi, how you been? It's been a while. It's good to have you back on.
It's been about 2 years, and I am delighted to be back with you, Kevin. I always enjoyed your show. I always enjoyed the commentary, and it's always fun to let our listeners know what is going on up here in the halls of the people here in the legislature building.
Okay, tell me what it was like a week ago Monday with all the pomp and circumstance and friends and family down on the floor. It had to be a thrill to be going through that again.
You know, what's interesting, Kevin, it was my first time, because even though I have been elected to a second term, the first time was during COVID. So we had no opening. We had no celebration. People were not allowed in the building. We had glass partitions between us when we sat on the floor. I had to sit in my office all the time. I was supposed to, like, not meet with people. So I really missed out that first session. And so this is almost like my first session as far as the what you said, the, you know, the ceremony and the pomp and circumstance. And, you know, it does give you goosebumps. It's a privilege to be elected to an office. It's very hard to decide you're going to run for office. Then it's extremely hard to campaign. And then it's even harder to serve because now you've got the burden of, you know, fulfilling the dreams of those that help support you. And so it is a privilege. It's an honor when you walk through those halls and you see the building and you say the pledge. And it's just so wonderful that we have an open house again and that I'm partaking of it the way it should be done.
One of the things that I think is real important for members of whether it's Congress or whether it's the state assembly or the state senate or even city council, county commission, and that is constituent service. Can you talk a little bit about your constituent service record over one term? Granted, it was a really weird term with the pandemic, but can you talk a little bit about what that's about for you and your staff?
Yes, I would love to share about constituent services. And just to give a little background so people understand that we are a part-time legislature. And when we are serving, when we are in session, we do get staff to assist us. But the rest of the time during those 2 years, we have no staff. So it is us that is, you know, and if you have another, you know, occupation and career as I do, you know, you have multiple emails and you're going through them. And so what the Legislative Council Bureau did, which is an organization designed to support the legislatures when they're in session, but it also has what they call a constituent service department. And so they have staff that are here full time and they are invaluable and they're incredible people. And so I can use them like my staff when we're not in session. And I can help, you know, my constituents that have issues and problems that come up. And certainly during the first issue, the number one complaint issue people were begging me for help with was unemployment. Because as you know, everything shut down, particularly in Southern Nevada. And so we had so many people that couldn't access the system. They couldn't apply for their unemployment. If they applied for unemployment, they didn't get a response back. And so it was just a big issue, and so we all worked so hard together to try and get them, you know, to the right people in the unemployment department to move their claims along. And so that was probably the number one assistance during last term that I worked on.
Heidi, let me ask you, are Dieter's problems behind us? Because I know they've bought new software and new hardware and different personnel, and they've added people and subtracted people. Are Dieter problems behind us, or do we still have challenges?
We still have challenges, but, you know, and I want to be fair to the state employees because it was a tsunami that hit them. And their systems were never designed because if you remember, the federal government had an overlay as well. They had the PUAs, they call it. It was additional unemployment claim that the federal government was laying on. Well, no states were designed to have an additional federal unemployment claim go through state systems. And so it created just havoc because nobody was set up for that in any state. And so people were working very hard. They were working through the night. The staff, you know, the employees for the unemployment division really worked hard. But they were overwhelmed, and they did not have the systems and processes in place. And so with some of the ARP money that came through from the federal government, and we can talk about that another time, whether we agree this or that, but once the federal money is flowing down to a state, I want to make sure that we tap into all federal money that is allocated to our state. And so that money was tapped, and that was used to upgrade the unemployment system. And they have been working feverishly on that, and they have improved their system, and it is so much better. They do have right now, and I just heard in a hearing, they still have 36,000 claims that they have to go through, which is staggering. And they have a new director that I think is wonderful. He's taken over with the changeover in our governor. Thank goodness for that as well. And he's there, and he is working very hard. And so we're looking at additional funding to not only increase the staff, but also to hire contract workers. And there are some issues with some federal regulations. So I actually spoke to our committee about all of us signing a letter to our congressional delegation, because right now there's rules regarding you can't transfer certain people from one agency to another. There's rules prohibiting that. But we're in a crisis, and if we can tap some of our other employees and other agencies to, you know, go over and help the other agency that needs help, like the unemployment department, to get these things out, then we have to make that a focus for, you know, our constituents and our people. So I'd like to, I am working with our committee members to try and get a letter out to the congressional delegation to have some of those rules changed as well. The other thing we have is we have some state regulation that when our state employees retire, and now when the call goes out, because we need additional help for crises like this, right? So when the call goes out to hire these people and have them come back, do you know they have to reapply? So let's say they just retired. A teacher was telling me this, too. It goes across all agencies and departments. So if somebody has served for 20 years and then they want to come back part-time after they retire, they have to go, like, through 3 months of screening and applying again, and a lot of them lose heart and they don't want to do that. So that is a regulation I'd like to see that we overturn as a state, too. If they're in good standing when they left, we should be able to hire them immediately back, particularly when we have these type of crises in our state.
Again, Heidi Kasama joining us, Assemblywoman District 2. What are the legislative priorities you're going to bring to the table this session? And I know everybody, all the members get BDRs, bill draft requests.
Bill draft requests. Uh-huh.
And exactly what will your BDRs be about? What kind of legislation are you going to be pushing?
Well, I have several. I actually have 10, and I know we probably don't have that much time, but I have a couple that are important. I have some regarding health care and education. And, of course, we have a problem here in Nevada. We have created a medical desert, and there's no reason that we can't create a medical mecca. This should be a place where people come. We already have tourism. We're the best at tourism. Let's combine that so people come here, their families can come here, they have someplace they can stay. So I'd like to see that we become a hub. And I think we can. I think with the right vision, we can move forward and we can bring these doctors in. There's several issues, barriers that have been in our state that we need to overcome. We have the licensing boards. There's a lot of issues with that. Several of my colleagues are bringing bills for that, which is excellent to loosen up that. We're too restrictive with our licensing compactor rules across states. I have a program called Doctors for Nevada program, and the simple version of that is that if you are willing to come and serve as a doctor in the state of Nevada, we'll help pay off your school debt. And there's certain requirements, you know, it depends on how long you stay here, and then we'll pay off more of your student debt. But basically, come here, serve in the state of Nevada at least a minimum of 2 years. If you do more, we'll pay off more student debt. Because I believe Nevada is such an incredible state that if we get people to come here and live here for 2 years, they're going to want to stay here, and they're going to appreciate what a fantastic state we have. And so that's a bill I'm very excited about that I'd like to get through. And then I have another bill called the Right to Try, which means that if you have unfortunately been given a diagnosis that you're not going to make it, and you as an individual choose that you want to have experimental treatment, that you have the right to do that because all other options have been exhausted. So let's give these people the right to try experimental drugs if they want to. And, of course, there'll be no liabilities on the doctors or clinics that help these people with that.
I want to ask you kind of a fundamental question about legislating, and that is, you know, two of the issues that you were talking about that you'd want to change, like one of the regulations relative to coming back, and things like this, the right to try. Those to me are common sense, everyman issues that we can all embrace. Is that the kind of legislation where you'll get Democrats to talk with you or to at least give you a hearing on some of these bills, these common sense bills?
You know, Kevin, that is just, you know, a great question. And I've worked very hard in my first session to meet and develop relationships with my colleagues across the aisle, because if you don't do that, you won't get anything passed. And I believe that I have been successful in developing those relationships so I can get my bills heard in a hearing. And because, you know, it's just human nature. If people are rude to each other, they're not going to help each other. You know, that's just how we are. And so we do have to find common ground. We have to find ways to work together. And I believe I've established that so I can get these bills heard. And I already have a few bills that I have you know, some of my Democrat colleagues have signed on. And that's my goal, because if I can get full support, you know, across the aisles, then I'm going to get these passed. And that's my goal. That's what I'm sitting up here for, is to get good bills passed for the state of Nevada.
You've spent one term with a Democrat governor, Steve Sisolak. You are now into your second week with a Republican governor. What's the difference?
Well, I'm pretty excited that this term I am serving under a Republican governor, obviously. And I think, you know, we're just starting, but I do believe Governor Lombardo's style is different from Sisolak's, in that I believe he is reaching out to the agency heads. He's reaching out to all the individual legislators to have meetings with them and find out priorities and to establish those relationships. And I really believe that that was missing last time under our previous governor. And so I believe that that is a start to a good session and a good way for all of us to work together. And obviously I'm thrilled we have the governor there, so that you know, if we have some very difficult legislation that is not good, we do have the veto ability now.
And I'm curious, are there after one term, and then you get you know, new members that are coming in on the other side of the aisle, do you have a sense of who you can go to on the Democrat side and say, hey, I've got an idea, I've got a common sense approach to a problem, can you help me? Is it possible that you've discovered people that you can actually work with?
Absolutely, yes. And I look for those on the various committees, because you know, we're all assigned different committees. And so, you know, I look for those people I've established relationships with on the committees that I serve. And I do go to them and say, hey, I've got this bill coming up. Would you consider looking at it? You know, just having a talk with them up front, they might not sign on it up front, but if I can get them to hear me, look at it, that means I can get a hearing. That means I can get the professionals in to testify. And that's how I have the opportunities to get some of these things passed.
And let me just ask you, you mentioned the committees. I know we see video footage of members on the floor debating, blah, 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 blah. But I'm curious about your committee assignments. And did you get the assignments you wanted? What committee assignments do you have for this second term?
Yes, I did get the committees that I wanted, and so I have been assigned to Ways and Means, which is the finance, the money. That's the money committee. And my background, I was a CPA for 20-some years, so I like to be on that committee. I like to look at the budgets and see how our money is being spent. I'm also on commerce and labor, so that is dear to my heart. I'm a businesswoman. I have staff. I have employees, so I like to be part of commerce, and because a strong economy, you know, helps our state move forward all the time. So I think that's a very fundamental area to be on. I am on growth and infrastructure. That's my first time on this committee, and that is going to be having to do with transportation, energy. And so that's a very interesting committee, and I look forward to serving on that as well.
I want to ask you about something that is near and dear to my heart. We talk about it on a daily basis on this program, and that's education. I know that the governor has expressed an interest in school choice. We have Steve Yeager, on the other hand, saying this stuff is dead on arrival. What can we do about education, and is there anything in this term with a Republican governor pushing that maybe we can get across the finish line finally?
So I do think, you know, we do have we have opportunity scholarships. We have millennial scholarships. The governor wants to expand that. He has said, you know, he wants to be the education governor. So he's made that very public on the campaign trail and on his State of the State address. So we know that's a priority for him. And so I think because of that, there will be negotiating in various areas that are important to each party. But I believe that the Democrats are going to certainly have to work with him on certain of those areas. Otherwise, you know, they might have a chance of some of them, their bills getting vetoed. And so that's kind of the checkers that you play, or the chess that you play with each other, to everybody get some of their priorities out. But I'm excited to have him there. I have a couple of education bills as well. And, you know, not only education for the governor, but public safety. And those two go together with our educational facilities now. As you know, we've had horrific things happening in some of our public schools and our high schools. And so his priority is safety in the classrooms too. And I just had some of the top leadership of our educational departments in to visit with me, a few of them this past week. And I think they agree that there is some need for, you know, additional safety. And, you know, I'm a big believer we have to have, for lack of a better word, our truancy schools. They call them behavioral schools. But I believe in absolutely, if you are, you know, assaulting, bullying,